Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football, presented by NerdWallet. Jason is dancing. We are live in New York City. It is Tuesday, August 9th. My name is Jamie Erdahl. He is a Super Bowl champion, Jason McCourty. That is Kyle Brandt. That is Peter Schrager. I just realized why we say Peter and Kyle's name before that, because it sounds weird calling you Super Bowl champion, and then there's just Peter and Kyle.
Yeah. I remember last week it was Super Bowl champion, Jason McCourty, NFL insider, Mike, Garofalo, and Kyle Brandt. And no Kyle title, Brandt. No nothing. That's right. Fine. I kind of like it that way.
Shoot. Simple. They put it in there for a reason, because that did, I just felt terrible. I feel like you just totally took them down.
I wasn't going to
say it. It's like 70-0-53, and you're already like, I'm better than you guys.
70-0-53. Well, you said it, not me. Yeah.
I never went 0-16, though. Okay. So I never did.
Oh, man.
Me neither. That's blocked out. I don't know.
Right. That's true. I forgot.
It's time for the leave.
Good Morning, Browns fans.
Yeah. NFL Network is at training camps all around the country, including Oxnard, California, where the Cowboys are putting in work ahead of their game on Saturday night against the Broncos, live here on NFL Network. You can catch it. Jerry Jones was kind enough to swing by the set and talk to Rhett Lewis, Brian Baldinger, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero about that early exit for Dallas in the playoffs last season.
Boy, we were healthy going in that playoff. That's what makes that so bitter in our mouth, is to have it all right there ready to go and then not get it done at the end. So what are we going to do differently here? We're going to be more physical all year long than we were all year long last year, because we had early parts of the year to where it was clicking so good for us in our passing game and just really had the numbers going for you, but they won't let you do that when you get to the playoffs.
Right.
They just won't let you
not
do
with
it.
With that front San Francisco brought to you.
And so having said that, we're going to try and be ready for that by playing like that more in the regular season.
So, rightfully so, Mr. Jones wants to be prepared for the postseason, especially if you look at the numbers over the last 25 years or so. My goodness, so not what you expect when you talk about the Dallas Cowboys. Also, we were trying to figure out the parallel to that conversation. It's like if Nate Burleson just like walked in and like, oh my God, give him a microphone, get him, and he's just going to stand over us and talk. Is that the same?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Nate will have a mic. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, he brought his own.
Right, right. So speaking of the Cowboys, what has to be different? How can this season be different for the Cowboys?
Yeah, for me, I mean, Jerry said it. He said, be more physical. Like, for them, you got to run the ball. That's how you show physicality. Running the ball, stopping the run, and the kicking game. And if we look at right here, we'll put up a full screen of Dallas's 6 losses last year, including the playoffs. Where they fell off was running the ball. Look at the attempts per game. 32 down to 18 in the games that they lost. That is startling. 14 touchdowns compared to 2, and the 12 wins compared to the 6 losses. And the playoff game Ezekiel Elliott, Tony Pollard combined for 3 catches for 12 yards, 16 rushes for 45 yards. We said it yesterday.
People.
We're talking about marriage. We're talking about how to make it right. It's like the husband. Say, hey, I'm going to cut the grass, honey, on Saturday. Saturday comes. The guys want to go watch sports, grab a beer. Then Sunday comes. Hits church. Then he wants to play 18 holes of golf. The weekend's over, and the grass still isn't cut.
Come on,
what'd
man.
What'd you say yesterday? Actions like speak louder than words. Run the ball. Establish the run game. Be physical. Which we need to win.
Oprah would be so proud of us.
Yeah, I hope so. And here's the secret. If you want
what's the secret?
Uh-oh. Here's the secret.
All right.
I don't think it's any secret that Mike McCarthy needs to win now.
Yeah.
He needs to win. And this is not a team that's looking for the long term. Like, in that building, every year it matters, but more this year than ever, I feel like there's a pressure to get the job done. And I look at the highest paid player on their roster, and at some point, is Dak one of the greats? Is Dak one of those guys? Because we've seen Mahomes carry teams. We've seen Josh Allen carry teams. Dak has done it in spots, but in the biggest game of the year last year, they fell behind, and Dak had this ferocious comeback, and of course the final play and what have you, but like that was not a team, not a game where Dak Prescott's putting in his Hall of Fame induction ceremony. So I need a Dak Prescott to be even better than he was last year and overcome some of those inefficiencies that they have. They lose Amari Cooper. They lose, Randy Gregory on defense. They're going to be losing Lyle Collins this year. There's a lot of things that are not as good as last year's team on paper. Dak has to be even better. He's got to overcompensate, and he's got to be the guy. They pay him like he's one of the guys. He's had moments where he's one of the guys. But with the pressure going on into this season, with Mike McCarthy's job, with the entire Cowboy Nation wondering, and with Jerry obviously hovering from above, as we saw on that interview, Dak Prescott, we know you got – and, like, I've always said this with Dak. People are like, hey, no, Dak, is he any better than Kirk Cousins? Is he any better than Alex Smith? You ask around the league, like, coaches look at Dak that way. They do. They're like, when Dak Prescott walks in a room, everyone listens, and Dak Prescott has the arm, and he's in great shape. All right, stack it together and do it in the playoffs, and let's get it done. And Dak Prescott, be one of those elite guys where we are talking about you with Lamar and with Mahomes and with Josh Allen so that you're not in the second tier or even third tier that sometimes you're grouped in.
Number one offense in the NFL last year. In a home playoff game, they score 17 points. And on the last play of the game, Dak walks into a sliding glass door. Like, that's why we're here. And this is perfect of my exasperation with the Dallas Cowboys and their coverage on this show and others. We start the show with just a Mad Libs generic quote from Jerry Jones that there's nothing about that quote that identifies it as this team. It could be any team for the last 15, 20 years, the Dallas Cowboys. And so could this Cowboys team. You have a very famous quarterback who's very good, but like not one of the great ones. You have a famous wide receiver with a really cool name. You got a couple defensive stars, a head coach who gets pecked at, and the owner who's just talking and talking and talking. And this is why it bothers me, because 32 teams in camp, and we're like, can the Cowboys, I guess, will they? Because what always grinds my gears is this BS sentiment that is attached to the Dallas Cowboys about, we're all about Super Bowls. No, you're not. The last time they were in a Super Bowl, Diana Ross was the halftime show. The last time the Cowboys were in a Super Bowl, on the radio call was Jack Buck and Hank Stram. That's the last time. They played the Steelers in that Super Bowl. Since then, the Steelers, who are about Super Bowls, have been back 3 times. In that time, the Cowboys, the Super Bowl Cowboys, have won 3 total playoff games, meaning the Cowboys are one of just 6 teams in the whole league in that time to not even make it to a conference title game. The Jaguars have been to one. The Bears have been to one. The Panthers have been to one. It's just, will it be different? It's Groundhog Team to me every single time.
You've compared them to vodka soda in the past.
Have I?
You have.
I don't remember.
And saying that, like, it's always there. It's intoxicated by, like, at the end of the day, is anyone, like, vodka soda was what you've called that.
It really gets me going.
And it's like,
you put a lime in it, it's crazy. And it's just, two other teams in their own division have been to multiple Super Bowls. I think the Eagles and Giants have been to 5. So we're sitting here, 2022, it's 7:07 a.m. on whatever day it is today, Tuesday, and it's like, Jerry says we got to do better this year. Give me any evidence that they will. They're going to win the whole thing. They're going to get to, they just, it's nothing personal. It's just I serve the audience here. And I still think there's this adoration of the Cowboys as this beautiful American storyline that goes back to Emmitt Smith, who is now 53 years old, and like my parents. And look, there's 31 other teams, and I think they probably got a better shot. So good luck, Cowboys. But like, I just go by the facts.
I think
facts
their owner likes it that we're talking about them right now.
Facts.
We should stop.
Follow that.
It's this. I can't. I really shouldn't. I should have gone
before
Kyle. really, it's the solution for any team, and it's something I've learned over the years with the various analysts that I've worked with, which is balance wins games. And you can talk about the run game, you can talk about Dak being great, but how is Dak great with CeeDee Lamb? So you have to have a balanced run game, a balanced game through the air. But last year, the Super Bowl winning team threw the ball 60% of the time. Mm. The Rams were 60% in the air offensive team. So CeeDee Lamb needs to step up and be the guy. We know what Dak can be. We know what Zeke can be. But can CeeDee Lamb step up and be a top five guy? These categories, he's out of the top 15 in these categories that he needs to lead. You know, he has had the pedigree. He has the name, as Kyle said. And now he plays for the Dallas Cowboys. And he can make a name for himself on Thanksgiving. He can make a name for himself in January. But balance is key to win games down the stretch. And we know the other guys have it, but does CeeDee Lamb have it? Mm-hmm. That's the only way it can be different. But it's a good point, Kyle. Man, I didn't even think about it that way. Mm. We could.
Most people don't.
We could say this equation about any team that has been adequate over the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. The Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. They're always the one that come to mind. But it's just, why is it the same? Why does it lead the show?
Because it's that guy who was hovering over them. The cult of Jerry, the cult of personality, it's real. Like, it's intoxicating. What's he going to say next? Is he going to call Jimmy Johnson out? Is he going to say that he's been sniveling? Is he going to make some strange analogy that we're all giggling at? He's still one of the most powerful voices in our game. Yeah. And he wants to win so badly, and yet it's
avoided. I think he's compelling, but I don't think his team is, really, you know? Like, is CeeDee, Dez Bryant was the same guy, same number, same deal. Like, it just didn't get it done. Ezekiel Elliott maybe has the worst contract in all of football. And he has that contract because Jerry Jones, the guy that we love, said, I got to have Zeke here and I got to sell jerseys. I'm going to jump in the kettle. He makes $30 million this year. And he's like the 24th best running back in the league, maybe, including the second best on the Cowboys. So it's great. I love Jerry, too. I love you, Mr. Jones. The team doesn't win.
We've talked about the NFC and we've said the Packers, the Bucks, the Rams.
It's
a big gap.
Yeah.
We have not said the Cowboys in that class.
No.
You don't feel that way?
Yesterday, I remember saying we were talking about the Giants. Like, you're the Giants. Get a quarterback that deserves of the Giants. And now we're talking about the Cowboys. You're the Cowboys. Get people that are deserving of the Cowboys. Yet, how is this all in the same division and the same? It's wild.
Yeah. And look, Cowboys win. They win a lot. They win during the regular season.
Yeah. 12 games.
And they just 12 games is an amazing season. But just, it usually ends up the wrong way. It always ends up the wrong way. And it's Groundhog Team. I'd love it if it was different. I'd love to have a different conversation. But
here we are.
Make me.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
Say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
All right, it's Tuesday. We do a game called We In or We Out, and it's as followed. I say a statement. My co-hosts tell me if they're in or they're out. The Giants finished in last place last year with a 4-13 record in 2021. On Monday, they had a spirited, all-out brawl, bench clearing, offense versus defense at practice. Kind of like the fire.
Mm-hmm.
An old-fashioned offense versus defense training camp brouhaha like the old days. My statement is, one of those can be a good thing for a long, struggling team that fans are looking for a little fire out of. We in or we out, Jason, our ex-player, who I'm sure has been in a few of these. Good thing or bad thing?
I'm out on it. Like, this isn't, we had a brawl, now we're going to start winning games. I'm okay with training camp fights and everything, but it doesn't equate to wins. My first 2 years in the league, Jeff Fisher was our coach. We had many, many, many training camp fights, which led to a lot of 15-yard personal foul penalties during the season.
Yeah.
We didn't make the playoffs. We won 14 games in those two seasons. So the training camp fights did not help us in the win column. I mean, it's nice to see the competitive juices.
Isn't that like you hear that and you're like, you get excited, like, okay, as a player, because fans are loving it. They're like, oh, this is great. We're fired up.
At this point in training camp, you're just, Peter, I'm tired of going against you. We've been going against each other. I want to hit somebody else. So that's why the preseason games start to roll around. So yeah, at this point, training camp, oh, it's nice, but I wouldn't have hope. Like, oh yeah, we're struggling. We're going to be better this year. We're fighting in practice. Like, no, it's not giving you all that.
Yeah, I want to put my fan hat on and say I love it. Just give me all the pushing and the shoving. Like, and that's exactly it. It's like they're sick of hitting each other, which is what I want out of if I'm a fan of any team, and if I am a fan of the Giants. And like, those guys are tired of shoving each other, tackling each other, or maybe easing up on guys that they don't really want to ease up on because they're kind of driving each other crazy at training camp. Like, yeah, it's August. You're in New York. It is hot. It's 80s here right now. They're pissed. They're shoving each other. I'm in. Just more training camp brawls, but don't get punched in the face for no apparent reason.
Yeah, you have details with the principals involved or anything? What's going on?
Had Bobby Johnson, our offensive line coach, got involved.
Coach.
I mean, one of the coaches.
If it's for personal reasons, that is different. Yeah. But like, we're just shoving to shove.
For me, it's a question of timing. Like
John Feliciano dragging
John Feliciano.
Out.
Nice.
Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
33 days from their first game. It's a little too far out. For me, from an observational standpoint and a very modest personal standpoint, the ones that I like are when it's like rivalry week or you got a big game coming up and you set the tone that week, like on Wednesday for the NFL or like Monday in college, and first drill, first thing you go at it and be like, this is a different kind of week. We're going to, like, we got the Steelers this week or the Ravens. This is a month out from their opener against the Titans. Like, that doesn't work in my formula. So don't love it now. I mean, I like watching it because, you know, I don't know if I love it for the team necessarily.
Yeah, fans were in a fervor. Jason, I'll turn it back to you on this. Is there stuff that happens after? Like, okay, so they do that. You had all the fans at practice. Everyone's tweeting. Got Jordan Renan tweeting, like, live play-by-play updates. Like, it's a thriller fight or something. Like, you've got it all going on. And then you get back in the locker room, like, is everyone just like, hey, that was good theater? Or is it? Or is there actually tension?
But if it was all, like, nothing was personal, it was just a matter of, like, the moment got big, then you come in, you laugh, like, you're literally going to be laughing about it. Yo, did you see him drag Feliciano down? Bobby Johnson got in the fight, he pushed me, I was about to beat. Like, those are the type of conversations that go on. It doesn't drag out unless there's, like, something personal going on. Sure. Then it's like, all right, we got to have a kind of a little meeting, like, bring the responsible parties in, have somebody mediate. But if not, like, you get in the locker room, you're laughing about
it. Have you ever had to mediate something like that?
No, but okay. I've heard rumors about it around the league.
Oh, man.
I've heard rumors.
Love to be that guy. Yeah.
I like that Wink Martindale's the defensive coordinator of the Giants. I think he probably had something to do with that. I think it's a little bit of needling. Let's go. Let's
put it that way. Maybe it'll be different.
Right.
Yeah,
a little fire.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yesterday, James Palmer and Steve Mariucci joined our show. They're reporting live from Chiefs training camp. But before they told us about the Chiefs offense and what Nick Bolton's going to do on defense, they were very, 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 very happy to tell us that they had been eating a lot in Kansas City so far. Take a listen to this dialogue.
We had barbecue, we had pizza, we had 11 lemonades, apparently.
Yes, we ate dinner
last
twice.
Night. Yeah. We're off the rails already.
Yeah, I have also heard that they were rolling around in a red convertible. No joke.
What?
That came from one of my chief's sources.
The two of them?
The two of them were rolling into camp in a red convertible. Paul Burt and Mary Jo. It sounds like an incredible movie.
Like MacGruber?
Like MacGruber.
What the hell?
The statement is this, though. It's very important. Pizza is a treat that can be enjoyed at any time of the night, even after dinner. Mm-hmm. We in or we out. Jamie, let's start
with
you.
Well, that was the clarification. When we heard the story in the break before they said it in the segment, it was they had gone to dinner themselves, and then someone invited them to pizza, and they felt obligated to go do that, too, which is why they had the second dinner. But I am so far in on pizza at any time of day. It's like that Friends episode where Rachel makes an atrocious trifle, and she puts beef in it, and Joey is just saying, Joey's the only one that likes it. And Joey's like, beef? Good. Onions? Good. Jam? Good. Like, that's how I feel about pizza. Crust? Good. Cheese? Great. Sauce? Literally, it could be cold. It could be 2 a.m. It could be 5 p.m. Like, I'll eat any pizza. I have no stigma or snottiness about pizza. I literally eat it any time.
You love everything about pizza.
I love everything about it.
Like that little table that holds the box up in the middle?
Yep. Good. Good.
Everything about it. Little dipping sauce? Good.
Kyle's Chicago. I'm New Jersey.
Yeah.
We have debated the deep dish. For, this is a pretty cliched conversation, but really you guys are new to our show. What style of pizza are Jamie and Jason eating if we all go out to the pizzeria?
Well, if I had to pick, I would go Detroit style pizza.
Wow.
With the corners.
Yeah.
With the corners and like the seasoned crust. Have you guys ever
I've had it, but I'm going New York style. You fold a pizza in half, like that is just Northeast thing. Like that's what we do.
Yeah.
So
I'm a deep dish guy.
Deep dish is cool.
Listen, Allen Robinson, the receiver, is from Detroit. He's with the Bears for a while. He admitted while he's with the Bears that he likes Detroit style better than Chicago. I think it's part of the reason he's with the Rams right now.
Yeah. Get out of town.
I really do.
Get out.
And now he's in a great pizza town in LA. So let me get this straight.
Yeah.
The two gentlemen ate a Kansas City barbecue dinner and then had pizza.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Gorged themselves with ribs and
that's
brisket.
Disgusting.
That's disgusting.
I'm out. Yeah. I mean, I love pizza as much as the next guy, obviously. There's no part of you after you have burnt ends and brisket and all the, like, you know, I could go for some more salt and pork. Give me a pepperoni. That's disgusting. There are a lot of things about pizza that are not true. Like, it's good anytime. The whole thing about, like, I don't think it's good after barbecue, for example. I like it in the morning, but, like, people will be like, there's no such thing as bad pizza.
Yeah,
bad blah, blah, blah. If you think that, you haven't had much of either. Like, I've had plenty of both, and believe me, they're both real. So I'm going to be out on this. I'm out at the same time. I'm out on this. I can't.
I'm okay with this. Well, I was. I'm transitioning a little bit.
Oh.
I've always been able to eat whatever I want. Freshman year of high school, 5'6", 125 pounds. Mm. Give me as much pizza as you possibly can. Now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You were 5'6", 125 pounds. That is how big was.
Yeah.
That's how big I was.
Ninth grade.
Wow.
Yes. I've grown. But now, transitioning out, haven't worked out since we started the show. I can't have pizza anytime. Like, I'm trying to keep my figure. I want to continue to look okay. Like, I want my wife to desire me when I get back home. So, pizza anytime.
I can tell you're really falling apart physically.
Yeah, I was going to say. No, you look terrible.
Get it together, McCourty.
When you put the coaching shorts on yesterday, I was like, he could go play 100 snaps, like, right now.
Guys, little treat for you here. Let's bring out the pizza.
Peter, don't do that to us.
No, stop.
That was it. Where are you?
That was so rude.
You were so excited.
That was so rude.
So excited.
Peter,
ribs.
That was the rudest thing you've ever done to me.
Pizza and Skittles? Would you have?
Yeah.
Skittles on the pizza.
That is the dream meal. Oftentimes, when I eat pizza or something that is salty, like pizza, I need, like, immediately Skittles, Starbucks. No, not sweet. Like a fruit.
Specific.
Yeah, specifically like a fruit candy.
We're going to get to know Jamie so well.
Yeah.
I know. It is pretty good. Yeah, all kinds of secrets about you. After I eat the barbecue, you want frozen yogurt or something, you know? Like, although there's no bad time for Little Caesars. Let's be honest about that.
It's time for the lead block.
Time for the lead block.
NFL Network is everywhere. Let's get out of this conversation as fast as possible. During training camp season, we're everywhere, including St. Joseph, Missouri, where the Chiefs are getting reps in ahead of week one of the preseason. They take on the Bears on Saturday at 1 p.m. live right here on NFL Network. And none other than one Patrick Mahomes swung by the inside training camp set to talk to James Palmer and Steve Mariucci. So let's take a listen.
What was going on this offseason when it was, here's another player come to the NFC, come to the AFC West. Here's another player come to the AFC West. Here's another pass rusher to the AFC West. What was your mindset as all these moves were happening with the other teams in your division?
Yeah, I mean, it excites you, honestly. I mean, obviously,
AFC West is going to be a great division, probably the best division in football. Yep. But for me, I feel like it's been a great division for the last 6-7 years. You have to accept that challenge. You have to accept the challenge every single week. You have to play your best football. And I think it prepares you for the playoffs. And I think if you play in the division that, like we do, and you play against some of the best teams in the AFC, when you get to the playoffs, it'll be just another game. It won't be a step up in competition because you've been playing against it all year long.
All right, after all those big additions to the AFC West, which has been a strong division, there's maybe some doubt about the Chiefs for the first time in quite some time. So do we sense that there is a little bit more motivation with Patrick Mahomes this season?
Oh, yeah. This is a guy that plays it cool, and you hear that voice, and you see that smile, and you see how endearing he is to the NFL Network guys who are interviewing him and gals. And you're like, oh, he's such a sweet kid. He's got a mean streak, and trust me, he's listening to all of this stuff. He's one of those guys who takes names, and he keeps a list, and it's like Santa Claus, because at the end of the day, he's coming in December and January, and he's going to be the one to win. I go back a few years ago when the NFL Network, and our show, had the top 100 list, and he was voted number 4 in the NFL. Okay, number 4. How did Mahomes answer? How did he respond? Take a look at this celebration afterwards when he scores a touchdown on this one, and he's going to show you with his fingers how he feels.
Remembers.
One,
he remembers.
One, two, three, four? Question mark.
Really?
And everyone thought that was some weird thing. That was because he was voted 4th in the NFL 100. All right, and I've heard that from good sources that that's what that response was. You're going to vote me 4th and Lamar 1? You're going to vote me 4th? This guy is motivated, and you better believe he's hearing that this offense is going to take. You better believe he heard that James Jones went on a podcast and said that the Chiefs are the 4th best team. And you better believe Patrick Mahomes is listening to people saying he can't get it done without Tyreek Hill. I think Mahomes was probably involved in a lot of the discussions when Hill was on the way out, and there was an understanding that we can't pay this guy what he wants. We're coming to you. Are you... And they did replenish that wide receiver room with Juju and Marquez Valdez-Scantling and, of course, Sky Moore, the rookie. I think Mahomes might be in the MVP talk yet again, despite everyone kind of writing the Chiefs obituary for the 2022 season. I'm in.
I can tell.
It's compelling, right?
It's very compelling. You know, it's funny. I think Rodgers is going to be MVP talk, too.
I like it.
You know what I'm saying? For the same reason. But sticking with Mahomes, I think we're in uncharted territory with Mahomes in the sense of the way the last season ended. Patrick Mahomes couldn't get it done last year. He messed up at the end of the Bengals game a couple times, and we've never seen that. In the whole Mahomes journey, and this is going to be the end of the game against the Bengals, remember the first year he lost in the title game to the Patriots? He was a blistering force of nature in the second half and basically lost the game because they lost the coin toss, ironically. Then the other big loss he had was to Tom Brady again in the Super Bowl, in which he was heroic because he had no help. Anytime they've ended the season with a loss, it's not Mahomes' fault. He's always been like, I was incredible. He's like the NBA player who puts up 46 points and still loses. Not this time. This time he was missing the 2 free throws, making a big turnover. We have never seen him taste that bitter bite of like, damn, I had us and I messed up. It wasn't a coin toss. It wasn't somebody on defense. Also, I think now Mahomes is now part of a whole class of young, brilliant AFC quarterbacks, whereas before, he was the bell of the ball. When he came in, it's like, it's him and it's Deshaun, who he would handle, and Lamar, who he would handle. Now we got Allen, and we got Herbert, and we got this whole collection of these superstars who are being looked at over him, who are saying that there's going to be the equal of him, who are going to pass him. That's just even his own division. So I think for the first time, bitter taste of defeat that was on him, and like, what about me? I'm Mahomes. Yeah, we're looking at some other guys now. Never tasted that before, and if he's wired like Peter says he is, like, he's out to kill.
Doesn't it feel like it's been the offseason of Josh Allen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, and I don't know if you heard this, but Justin Herbert's going to win every MVP for the rest of the year. Like, it's a lot of that. And it's not Mahomes. It's not. And, like, it is so stupidly unfair the way we judge Mahomes that he's won the MVP. He's been to 2 Super Bowls. He hosts a title game every year. And we're like, maybe the bloom is off the rose a little bit. He's spectacular. But he couldn't get it done last year.
No doubt about it. You just said it, too. We've talked about Josh Allen the entire offseason.
We did.
And they beat them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, Josh Allen was terrific, like really great. But at the same time, in that game,
it's so funny, man.
13 seconds left after Josh Allen just drove his team down and scored, Andy Reid's advice to Patrick Mahomes, when it's grim, mm-hmm. be the grim reaper.
Yeah, cool line.
That's who he is, though. Yeah, like, in those moments, like we just said, yes, last year in Cincinnati, down the stretch, he didn't make the plays. The ball was in his hands. The last three plays, two incompletions, then an interception. But we've seen him with the ball in his hands in crucial moments in games, and he makes those plays. So the last thing he remembers is these last three plays in the playoffs where they fall short to make it to the Super Bowl. You damn right he's going to be motivated this year. Forget about the AFC West and everything that's been added. He was already motivated the moment he walked off this field and knew that he wasn't going back to a Super Bowl. He's been terrific since he was handed the job in Kansas City, and that's his standard. Mm-hmm. Like you just say, the way we judge him that way because of what he's put on tape. Mm-hmm. That's his standard, and that's the excellence that he plays with. So, yes, he's going to be extremely motivated to show that, especially now without Tyreek Hill, that he can still get his team back to the big game.
Hearing what Peter had to say makes me nervous about giving him any kind of billboard material, so I'm going to ease into this one. It's tricky when you consider Patrick Mahomes' motivation, because is he motivated to get to a Super Bowl? No. Is he motivated to win a Super Bowl? No. Be an MVP? No. He's done all of these things already. So what is his motivation?
Carrot, yeah.
What is the carrot? Is it to solidify a legacy that he is already well on his way to cementing? That's where I think he needs to be right now. Peter, you made a great point. Like, I have a hard time reading Patrick Mahomes. He's such a cool customer. The game comes so easily to him. And in that first year when he had 50 touchdowns, the fact that we've never seen that number before, what does that say about him and maybe the way he was relying a lot on his athleticism mm-hmm. and how easily the game came to him? Maybe he needs to get back to, I know it might be hard for someone who is as talented as he is, but the X's and O's, trusting an Eric Bieniemy, trusting an Andy Reid to show him the way in times where maybe he needs some guidance. He has an opportunity here to solidify himself, to separate himself once again from this conversation of those young quarterbacks, because he was already head and shoulders above those guys before this even began.
They were down and out last year at one point. They're on their backs. Remember, they lost to Buffalo in historic fashion in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And they lost to Cincinnati on the road. And I look back at some of those weird losses last year, and like there were doubters of Mahomes, and why can't the offense get going? The defense is carrying them. They barely scored against the Giants, and then it all came together, and then they went on this run. They were the one seed, mm-hmm. and it's like they're such a hard out. Like they're so, like, they were not great last year, mm-hmm. and they were the one seed. Like they are such a they were once the Titans lost. I'm saying they hosted the AFC Championship game. But they were such a hard out, and they didn't even play their best last year. I think all of that, they're like impossible. He's impossible to slay. You need something like this the Bengals have, which was a maybe once-in-a-lifetime performance by all those defensive players and for Burrow to really lead them down
the stretch. But there were flashes. Like in that AFC Championship game, that play that you brought up a couple weeks ago where he didn't stay with the read long enough, and he went out on the left side, and he should have just let the run happen in front of him. It's little moments like that where, you know, a Tom Brady studies years of his life he's given away to knowing when to make the right decision mm-hmm. and where to put the football. And is that experience? Like, Patrick Mahomes just needs to continue to grow on his experience to know, like, to watch how a game unfolds in front of him and to make the right choice there?
I think it's one of those things. When you're as talented as he is, that same play could happen 9 more times.
Yeah.
And those 9 times, he keeps the ball mm-hmm. and makes a terrific pass. And they go on second down, they march the ball down the field, and they score. And we never talk about the first and 10 play where he maybe should have handed the ball off. Mm-hmm. These guys are Patrick Mahomes, the Bradys. These guys make such great decisions with the ball in their hands. And Mahomes is so great at the off-schedule plays. So you'd never really want to question if we're keeping the ball in his hands. But when you don't make the play, and we look at 3 straight plays where you don't make it, it comes down to, hey, when we win, it's all on you. When we lose, it's all on you. The life of a quarterback in the NFL.
I forgot that. Mm-hmm. If you're grim, be the grim reaper.
That's amazing.
Oh my gosh, fantastic.
Things are grim.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my day, bro.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
And the snap. Rodgers throws right side, making the catch. Lazard diving, pylon, touchdown, and there it is. Now lost right side. Lazard adjusts, leaping grab in the end zone, touchdown, Green Bay. A sensational catch, Alan Lazard. Lofts left side, got a man wide open. Lazard slipped a defender to the end zone. Touchdown!
Man, it's always good to talk to the guys that come into the league at the bottom and work their way to the top. And this next guy is in line to be Aaron Rodgers' new favorite target this season, coming off of his best year yet, but more is to come. Welcome to the show, Packers wide receiver Alan Lazard.
Let's go!
Welcome.
Thank you guys for having me.
For sure. Appreciate you coming, man. Joining the show. 2018, undrafted rookie. You enter the NFL now in your fifth season with the Green Bay Packers. Production has gone up every single season from where you started to where you are now. Man, how do you feel about the journey and what have you learned so far?
Wow, it's just been an incredible journey, honestly. Like you said, going undrafted in 2018 was not the route that I visualized growing up, you know, something I dreamed about, hearing your name called on that stage by Roger Goodell and being selected by a team and then going there. You know, I think my route is a little bit different, but I'm so humble and I'm so blessed to have gone through the things that I've gone through because I've learned so much, not only just as an athlete and as a professional, but just as a human and personally with my development off the field as well, which has helped me get to where I am today.
It's incredible, and what a great answer. Alan, we're going to take a unique route here and ask you about replacing Devontae Adams. I don't know if you've heard that before. If it's come up in camp, if anybody talks about it. Listen, fact is, your quarterback says there's going to be the same number of targets, yards, and touchdowns to go around this year, even without number 17. He said you're the guy who's going to step in that number one role. So I know you've been asked this 1,000 times. You have this great story. Undrafted. Just work your butt off. You got in this position, and it's constantly about Devontae this, Devontae that. How confident are you that you're going to be able to step in and shut everybody up about that?
Extremely confident. You know, it's something I've been working hard at for the past several years. You know, it's something, like I said, going into the draft is what eventually I wanted to work myself into that number one role. Now, there's been games where we've missed Devontae, where we've missed other guys, or Devontae's gotten more coverage where my targets have gone up in a sense. And so it's not like an unfamiliar role for me, you know, especially being at Iowa State in high school, of being the main guy and everything. It's just I'm doing it on a different level now. So I'm very excited for the opportunity. And I don't think you could ask for a better quarterback to do it with.
Awesome.
It's you're saying the right things, and we know that you walk the walk as well. We've been on the show all summer long, and for 10 days we've been covering all the teams, and there's one name that keeps on coming up here, and it's a rookie fourth-round pick named Romeo Doubs.
Let's go.
Is the myth real? Like, what are you seeing from this kid? Because right now it feels like we're here in New York City. We're looking at a satellite and there's some wonderful thing happening that's far from our grasp. What is the real deal with this kid, Romeo Doubs? And is he having the summer that everyone is saying he is up there in Green Bay?
Yeah, I think Romeo is extremely talented. You're able to see his potential being very high. He's made fantastic plays all throughout camp. Honestly, every single day he's kind of had a wild moment from all of us. But I think the most impressive thing about Romeo is just like his work ethic and his tenacity every single day. When he does have a mistake, which is very seldom and very so often, you can see how much it upsets him. And that's something that that I took from like Devontae and other greats around here in this building, of just like on that standard of perfection in a sense. Even though we know that's not possible and it's not true to be perfect, you know, we're aiming for that because that's the Green Bay standard, and that's just how we carry ourselves in our room. So Romeo, as well as the other younger guys, you know, I think they've been coming along very well throughout camp and continue to keep on growing. You know, we have this first preseason game coming Friday, and we'll be excited to see them in live action.
Absolutely. Alan, we're on this show 15 hours a week. We're talking football up and down, left and right, trying to find new angles. We're constantly talking about your quarterback. Mm-hmm. And as a fan, we'd like to pretend like we know what this is like. But what is it like to play for a Hall of Famer, play with a Hall of Famer? I mean, it's got to be make you happy to wake up every day and be like, that's the guy I'm catching footballs from. I know it would make me happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Being able to work with him. Just his intelligence, his knowledge of the game, of just being able to put you in the right position. It takes so much pressure off of me personally, just knowing that if I just do whatever he says, more than likely I'll be wide open and the ball's going to be where it needs to be. So if I just run my route, the ball will be there and I just got to make the catch. But he challenges everyone. He holds himself to an extremely high standard. That's why he's a four-time, two-time back-to-back. Well, not two-time, but back-to-back MVP winner the past few seasons, is because of how much he demands out of himself. And he doesn't let that that demand or that standard slip for anyone else. And I think he's just able to bring out the best of every single one on the field and this entire organization. And be able to play with them is definitely a privilege, and makes it for a challenge sometimes, but we all appreciate a challenge. And I think that's the reason why we're able to have a lot of success.
Alan, if you've watched our show, you know we've mentioned this before. You're one of the best blocking wide receivers mm-hmm. in the NFL. It's mentioned a lot, and it might not make fantasy football headlines, and it doesn't always get Twitter ablaze. Talk about your blocking prowess and why you as a wide receiver take so much pride in the fact that you're known around the league as that dude.
Oh, well, and it kind of goes back to me being undrafted, you know. I saw it as an opportunity to make myself valuable to this team. With this Coach LaFleur's offense and everything, we run the ball very heavy inside the box and everything. And I knew that as a wide receiver, blocking the safety and be able to make that block could spring those explosive plays, which could turn a 4 or 6 yard run into a 20, 30 yard run or potentially a touchdown. So I saw the value that I could bring to the receiver room, to the team. And, you know, as a competitor, I just want to win. And so early on in my career, I kind of set out as that being my goal, to be able to distinguish myself as the best blocking wide receiver in the NFL, and to continue that path and to continue growing from there on. Now, obviously, being in the number one receiver role, you know, I probably won't be blocking as much, but that won't mean my production will lack. You know, it just means I'll get more targets in that sense and be able to produce as well and just have an overall solid game.
Yeah, for sure. As a corner, you always hated the big body receivers coming, pushing you on a run play when you want to kind of get a breather. But, man, Jaire Alexander is a guy I love to watch play. The feistiness, the attitude in which he plays with. And you're an extremely confident receiver. You don't mind talking and doing those things, too. Where do you guys train in camp battles, like the one-on-ones, the seven-on-sevens, the team drills? What is it like when you two are going head-to-head?
It's always intense. You know, we just had a discussion like the other day. He had kind of threw me to the ground trying to strip the ball and stuff. I'm like, hey, man, you got to keep me up. He's like, hey, you know, whenever we go against each other, it's a live rep every single time. And I think it's just a testament to him and how he goes about practice and the reason why he's been able to have such success over the past few years. To me, he's undoubtedly one of the best corners in the league. You can just look at his production and everything. He doesn't get hurt last year. his numbers would have been through the roof. But Jair is an extremely talented player, a great person, and you know, I think he demands the best out of me every single day, and I know that he's only making me better.
You gave an incredible interview, man. These are incredible answers. Thank you so much for all the generosity here. But we have to ask one more question. When you were 2 years old, Alan, Hollywood released a major motion picture called Con Air. And in the year 2022, it spiked in popularity out of nowhere, and everyone was watching it. And it's because of this. This is the QB1 showing up to training camp dressed as head to toe as Nicolas Cage in the role of Cameron Poe in Con Air. We ask you about this because he was sitting down with a couple of colleagues of ours and saying that you actually played a pivotal role in assembling the outfit. Can you tell us the story of it, please, and how this came to be?
Yeah. So I was going to go over. It was like the night before camp officially started. Like, we had our conditioning test. I just hit him up. I knew he got back to town. I was back in town. I just wanted to meet up with him, hang out, catch up and everything. And before I came over, he was like, hey, do you have any beater tank tops? And I was like, no, but I'm actually been meaning to go grab some. So if you want me to grab some, I can. And so he's like, yes, if you're going already, please. But if not, then don't worry about it. And I was like, I'll just go ahead and grab it just to make sure that for whatever reason that he has a beater tank top. Little did I know it was for Con Air and Nicolas Cage, and nor have I even seen the movie. But I think he pulls off the outfit very well.
But Alan, why did you need some beater tank tops? Is that like a normal style for you?
Is that what you wear? Is that what you rock?
Why did he assume you had them?
Yeah.
I don't know why he assumed I had them, honestly. That's just Air. But I like to wear them every once in a while around the house, just, you know, moving around. Summertime, it's humid here in Green Bay. Just, you know, sometimes a t-shirt's just a little bit too much.
Incredible.
That's a look. I was legitimately shifted to the edge of my seat as you told the rest of that story. The behind the scenes is exactly what we needed on Good Morning Football. Alan Lazard, thank you so much.
You're the best.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.